You're listening to the Hope Community Church Podcast. Our prayer for you is that as you listen, you'll be engaged, encouraged, and expectant for all that God wants to accomplish in your heart and in your life. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with friends and family so that the gospel message may continue to go out to the ends of the earth. Thank you for joining us.
If you would, look at Luke 24, verse 38. Jesus says to them, "Why are you troubled?" he asked them. "And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher and your preacher. On me is a greater, more strict judgment than anybody here. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. Be seated. It's good to see you all. We're going to stay in Luke 24 for a while. It wasn't planned. Wasn't planned to do that. So I changed my plans. And Luke 24 is where we've been for Easter. And then we were there for this last Sunday about the Emmaus walk. And then I thought, we're just going to keep on going down through this because it's a beautiful read to read it. And it's just a beautiful collection of the accounts after his resurrection. So last Sunday, I left you with the two on the Emmaus Road. And they're walking, and then the Lord appears to them, resurrected Jesus appears to them. And they went from their hearts being sad to their hearts being on fire because he was with them. He opened the scriptures to them. He connected the dots, and he put them on mission where they needed to be. So those two guys went and met with the 11 disciples. Remember, Judas is no longer a part of it. And this is where we pick up with the two on Emmaus walk that had just been with the Lord. Connect with the 11 remaining disciples, and that Jesus, he appears to them in this portion. I want you to look at verses 36 through 40 for a moment. And we're going to walk through this story for just a moment. And as they were saying these things, he, Jesus himself, stood among them. He said to them, "Peace to you." Now you're going, why would you say peace to me, to them? Well, he's just been raised from the dead. That could be a little scary, okay? A little bit. They're frightened, you know, that he's appeared to them. Verse 37. But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you troubled?" he asked them. "And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" he asked. Verse 39. "Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. Because a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you can see that I have." In verse 40, having said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, evidence of the marks of crucifixion and the scars that are there with the crucifixion. He asked the question, "Why are you troubled and why are you doubting?" Sometimes as a pastor, you all come to me with awareness. You hear something on the news and it just raises up the anxiety and even a lot of questions. And to some degree, I'm not Jesus, but I can respond, "Why are you troubled or why are you doubting?" Because he does know. Does he know that we have troubled and doubting, troubled hearts and doubting thoughts? Sure, he knows that. But I want to remind you of John 14:1. Of what he says to the disciples as he's getting them ready for his leaving. This is all before the cross and the resurrection. Your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me, he says. So things will happen on the news and around society, and you'll go, "Man, what about this?" You'll have some anxiety about it. And I'm going, it's going to happen. This shouldn't be news to us. Let me just say it this way. This shouldn't be new news to us. You're going, man, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Well, that shouldn't be news to you. If you read his word, that's wow, I could have had a V8, you know? It's like, okay, because he's told us this. You know, Satan is looked at in Scripture as a prince. He'll never be a king. That he wants to be a king, but he's nothing but a prince of this world. That's as far as he's ever going to get. And the Lord is king forever. No name above him. We just sang that, okay? So you need to know I've got turkey wood sermon prep all coming in on this together, all right? So if I gobble about halfway through it, I've just apologized in advance, all right? He has let us know ahead of time. Satan tells you one thing and then does another. Jesus tells you one thing and does it. He tells you up front what it's going to be like. It's not this guessing game or this match game. He tells you all up front what it's going to be. Satan does it, and then he tricks you and sacrifices you later on down the road. But he goes, don't let your heart be troubled. Here's what you need to do. You believe in God, great. Let's go a little deeper. Believe in me also that he has sent me. So the emphasis here on their hearts being troubled and their thoughts having doubts is that I've been telling you about the resurrection all along. Meaning, why should this be startling to you? I mean, all along this has been happening. It even becomes a challenge to believe in the supernatural. And if you're a Christian and you're living a Christian life, you have to believe and live even in the supernatural. I see the seen, but Paul says you need to be able to see the unseen. And he says that you can, okay? So you got to be able to live in that, because we just live so differently than anybody else on the planet. We believe in supernatural things, extraordinary things happening. Do I believe in natural things happening? Of course, but then I believe in the supernatural. Do I believe in ordinary? Of course, but I'm going to believe in the extraordinary, because that's who our Lord is. And it just becomes a challenge, because the resurrection is a supernatural event and they're having trouble believing it, even though he's been telling them about it all along. All along, he's been telling you about this event that is going to be able to happen. So here's what we get surprised at this, at the supernatural part of the Christian life, that we have put together this statement, you will never believe. And then you tell the story. You know, you go, man, three times this last week, three different people, three totally different situations came to me. And they started off, hey, preacher, you're never going to believe. And I go, I mean, what do you think I live in? What do you think I believe in? Do you know? I mean, we're not asking the eight ball here, you know, and shaking it. I mean, we're dealing with the Lord. So it's the picture of, yeah, I do believe. And they tell me things that the Lord orchestrated in their life. And I'm going, I do believe it. But we can sometimes not expect or live in the supernatural that we say you'll never believe, which these three events this last week may have instigated this sermon today. But I want to remind you, let me remind you that the prophets of old told of his birth, his life, and his death. They even handled the wheres, the whys, the hows, and the whens. Long before they told of him up front, long centuries ago. I want to remind you that not even of the wheres and the whys and the hows and the whens, but I just want to remind you that our God, our Lord Jesus, created all of this. All of this was made by him. Colossians says all of this was made for him. And Colossians says he holds all things together. You and I don't hold those things together. Just let me remind you that he split time. Okay? He split it. There's a before Christ and an after Christ. I just want you to know how much the world wraps around Jesus, because it's made by him and it's made for him. Let me remind you that he taught us that the world would hate us early on. So don't come to me and be surprised that the world hates you as a Christian. Amen. He said that long ago. He said, the world will hate you because you love me. So that's no news to us. He said that, I want to remind you that he said that there'd be suffering and there'd be trials and there'd be tests in our life, difficulties. There'll be persecution. There'll be people plot against us. Why are you alarmed? He told us this a long time ago. I don't expect a cheering section being a preacher. Because people are like, well, man, I like hanging around you. I said, well, that's a lie. Who wants to be around a preacher? You know, I mean, who wants to hang around a preacher? That we expect to be plotted against. It's just part of, he said it. I want to remind you that he said it a long time ago. Let me remind you that he said that wide is the gate and broad is the road to destruction. It looks like the road you want to take, but it's not. He also reminded us that small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. Because some of you come to me and you go, man, I'm at a crossroads. I don't know which one to take. Here's what I say from passages in like Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Which one's the toughest? You expect me to go and say, well, which one looks the easiest for you? Right? Wouldn't that be normal, logic? You're at a crossroads, where do you go? From Scripture, I would go, which one seems the hardest? Because sometimes we look at it in light of him, that the roughest road looks like the most peaceful road, which is what confuses you. Because you want to go to the broader road, and it's actually a harder road. Do you see what I'm saying? And then, but a lot of times in a pastoral care setting, I'm like, which one is the roughest? That's could be, and by Scripture, it could be the one that he's asking you to go down. Because narrow is that way, tough is that road. So I just want to remind you about even what he said about the roads that we travel. Let me remind you that at the beginning of the triumphal entry, this is Palm Sunday, okay? Jesus said to the disciples, you're going to go in town. And he gave them very specific instruction. You're going to find this colt there, and you're going to get that colt, and the owner is going to come out and ask you, what in the world are you doing? And you're going to say, the Lord has need of it, and then he's going to let you have it. And remember, this colt represents a car, a vehicle in our day, and the Lord needs it. And they went in, they found this place, they found the colt, he came out, what are you doing with my truck? You know, what are you doing with it? And they said, the Lord needs it. And they let him have it. And they said, we found it just as he said. Let me remind you, you are always going to find it just as he said. Okay? Because he's already told us. He's already told us in that. I just got to give you that reminder today. Let me remind you that in his revelation to John, in the book of Revelation, that these things are going to happen. You can't pray them away. All right? You're going, Lord, I know what you gave to John on the island of Patmos in the revelation. And man, I just want to know if, you know, can we have another set of plans here? He didn't go to all that trouble to give it to John to ask you if you wanted to switch it. You know, he said, this is the way it's going to be. Why are we troubled and why do we doubt when things line up that way? Because we just get, our anxiety just gets crazy with it. But he's already told us what already ahead of us. He's already told us. It's just a matter of time. Let me remind you, this is a good part. So Vanessa and Tyra, I'm expecting great things here, okay? I just want you to know that he said that we would have power beyond this earth to live by. That we would have resurrection power for the Christian, Holy Spirit-driven power to live this incredible supernatural life. And he would give it to us. We don't have to stand in line or outwork each other. He gives it to us. And he's raised from the dead for lots of reasons. And one of them is the resurrection power that raised him saves us, sustains us, and leads us through. That's how we get through very difficult times of our life. Let me remind you that he said, and hang on, his angels also said that he's coming back again. Yes. Heaven knows it. Because when he ascended, the angels came down and said, this Jesus that you've seen go is going to likewise come back in the same fashion one day. Not only did he say it, his angels all said it. They know that it's going to happen. And it's going to be a glorious day. You're going, man, as a Christian, do you fear that day? No. No, he's going to come back as a welcome guest to the Eaton family. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to out hoop and holler Tyra and Vanessa when that happens. He's a welcome guest. Well, man, he says he's going to come as a thief in the night, not to those who are looking for the groom. No, he's a welcome guest. Some are going to run and ask for the mountains to cover them. They're going to gnash their teeth with anxiety and ask the mountains to cover them up and hide them. Me and you, we're not going to do that. He's going to be a welcome guest to us. I've been looking for you for a long time, you know, to be able to come back. I just want to remind you that he told us this was going to happen. He told us this is going to happen someday. And he told us, now you're going to laugh at this. I'm a little bit proud of this. I want you to know this, and hopefully the right way. I may have to convince you about it. But I got into, he told us and he showed us. But then I went into just a little bit of a movement here. I said he told us, he showed us, so behold us. You know, but I liked it. We do behold. What's he not told us that he's going to do? What's he left out? Not a thing. He's told us all up front, which is why he's saying to these disciples in Luke 24:38 that, why are you troubled? Why do you have doubting thoughts? I thought I told you about this. Over and over, declarations of third day, on the third day, I will rise. On the third day, we'll rebuild the temple. It goes over, over and over and over again. He told them. And even though he knows why it's happening, he's challenging them with this. He's challenging this in this way. Let me remind you that he has overcome death. He's overcome the grave. And he has overcome the world. He not only told us, he showed us that he did that. Look at John 16:33 for just a minute. Look what it starts off with in verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Not in the world. I don't look at the world situations for peace. You will have suffering in this world, but be courageous. I have conquered or overcome the world. The word overcome means it's already victorious. He's a victorious Savior. He's a victorious King and Redeemer. He's the Christ, the Anointed One of God. That's, Christ is not his middle name. It's his title. He's the Anointed One of God. He will absolutely overcome every ruler, every mastermind, every plot, every scheme, and every attack on the church and the fight, the followers of Christ. He will be victorious. They can't even meet together and outfox him. He will overcome every single one of those. I want to remind you that Adolf Hitler had to bow before Christ. Not that he believed in him, but he had to surrender to him. Okay? And we look at all these great people, and he's overcoming every bit of it. All I want to do with whatever happens, I just want to know that I'm standing with him. Do you know what I'm saying? I might even say something and then hide behind Jesus and put him up in front of me. But I want to be with him when these things happen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Look at Romans 8, 35 through 39 for just a moment. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction, anguish, persecution, famine, nakedness? By the way, I just found out you can get Cane's chicken without the batter, but you have to order it that way. Did you all know that? I found that out yesterday. Just want to pass that on. I had trouble ordering it that way, if you really want to know the truth about it. I even said, can I get this without the batter? And she said that word, and I was like, yeah, I kind of blushed, you know? So I'm like, I'm having trouble, but I didn't know that could happen. But anyway, there, God bless Cane's, right? Or danger or the sword. Yeah, the verse 36, as it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. Tough times. Verse 37, knowing all these things, we are more than victorious through him who loved us. Verse 38, for I'm persuaded that not even death, life, angels, there's those rulers, demonic and elsewise, things present or things to come, or hostile powers, height, depth, or anything, or any created thing that will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We've overcome every bit of that. I just know I'm going to be found standing with him. Or he's going to be found with us, whichever way you want to be able to look at it. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 for just a moment. In 1 John 4, because whatever has been born of God conquers the world. Wow. Man, sometimes in our devotion, we'll just pass over that, won't we? Real quick and say we read it. Whatever has been born of God, you and I are his, conquers the world. This is the victory that has conquered the world. It's our faith. Our faith didn't make him. Our faith in him made us. And that we are there with him. It's our faith. And I go back to John 14, 1, if you can, Travis. I go back to even before all the events started happening with him. Your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God, then believe in me, he said. Let's just don't go saying anymore, hey, you'll never believe what happened. Let's believe. Let's believe, and let's believe in him. Let's even say that in a prayer today with you together. I know Easter we did the PACE prayer. Logan, you can come out and just play if you want to for just a moment. But for those who don't know the PACE prayer, it's a body prayer. You don't have to do it that way. If you don't want to, it's totally fine. But it's P-A-C-E, and the P is praise. We lift our hands in praise if that's what you choose to do. A is accept. We form our hands like an empty bowl. for him and what he gives us. C is we lift our hands in surrender to get rid of control. And E is we hold our hands out wide in expectation of what he does. And in all four of those points, we just really say, I believe in you. So church, would you stand with me? Will you do that? And you choose which way you want to work this prayer. It's fine either way. No judgment here. Let's pray together. Father, we lift our hands in praise. Who you are, what you do. Lord, you've told us all we need to know in this world and the world that is to come. And people even say about heaven that there's more there than what we know. And Lord, I know that there is, but you've let us know all we need to know. You even tell us through the writing of Paul that one day we only know a little, one day we'll fully know. And we just give you praise, Lord, that you haven't duped us. You haven't tricked us. You've been so honest with us. You've lived it out. You've shown us and you've told us. And Lord, I just want to say, we believe. We believe, Lord. Lord, we hold our hands in the shape of a bowl to receive and accept all you've given to us, your love and your grace and your mercy, the gift of salvation to us, Lord, forgiveness of sin to us, callings on our life, Lord, revelations, you manifest yourself to us, and we receive it. And Lord, we know that everything that the Father gives us, he gives it through you. And we believe in you. We receive all that you said that we could have, the resurrection power to just get through this life. We believe in you, Lord. Lord, we raise our hands in surrender of releasing control. Order our steps, Lord. You've told us in your word that you do and you will, that you direct our steps, Lord. And so, Lord, we just release control. I know a lot of us think in the future of a lot of things. We just release control. We trust you. And we believe in you, Lord. We hold our hands out, Lord, in expectation, not only of the natural, but the supernatural. Not only of the ordinary, but the extraordinary, Lord. We hold our hands out hope, with hope, even the name of our church, with hope. Enduring hope that you're going to work in our lives and in the lives of people around us. And not only that, you're going to work in us so you can work through us. You'll even use us to touch other people's lives today. And we live in that expectation of the natural and the supernatural, the ordinary and the extraordinary, because that's who you are. You are our victorious Savior, our victorious King, our victorious Redeemer. You are the anointed one of God. You are Christ, the anointed one. And Lord, we believe in you. We believe in you, and we're grateful for you. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. I'm going to ask our counselors to come, if you will. You're here this morning. You want to be prayed with, prayed for, prayed over. You come. You come, these people are here for you. You got a decision to make, a surrender to happen, then you come. They're here to minister to you and with you and for you. We say this, whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. The team's going to lead us. You respond.